So let's take a look now at the way Jesus functioned relationally, full of grace and truth, okay? Knowing all that he knew about people. How did he relate socially to people? Full of grace and truth. And so we're going to start off in John chapter 4. And right after meeting Nicodemus, Jesus has this encounter, and he demonstrates for us, you know, who our Savior is, operating fully grace, fully truth. And so in John chapter 4, Jesus is headed to Samaria. You guys are familiar with this story. And you also know Jesus was a Jew. So you know that Jesus heading to Samaria, it was kind of awkward because Jews never went to Samaria. Because if you went to Samaria, you could expect to run into some Samaritans. And Samaritans were, they were a mixed ethnicity. Okay, they were unclean. They weren't pure Jews. They were rejected. And so, in classic Jesus fashion, ignoring all social expectations and stepping on social toes and crossing the tracks and you know, going across the street, Jesus heads to Samaria. And he heads to Samaria to meet a Samaritan. And he heads there not just to meet any Samaritan. This Samaritan happens to be a Samaritan female. And so if you know anything about back then, you also know that men and women weren't seen hanging out together too much. And so Jesus goes to meet a Samaritan female. And she's alone. And she really has this thing for guys. And so this is like a really socially awkward moment, right? She's like the original desperate housewife. And she's got issues. And there's just a bundle of differences. It's just a really awkward situation. But watch this. Jesus, full of grace and full of truth, he says, hey, can you give me a drink, right? And she says, well, you know, I'm a Samaritan woman, right? And so I'm going to read now, instead of paraphrasing the Dino version, I'm going to read it for you. It says, Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up unto everlasting life. And then the woman said to him, sir, I'm thirsty. Give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go and call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you've well said, I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that, you spoke truly. So then the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. All right, now I'm gonna summarize here a little bit. Okay, so far, in this scene, there's an enormous amount of tension that has been built up. And we've established that our friendly little Samaritan lady has had a lot of dudes, okay? And five marriages and now a live-in boyfriend. And the truth is starting to come out about her, okay? And she begins to realize that Jesus knows what's going on. And all of a sudden, this isn't about her issues or her problems anymore. Watch what happens in the next verse. Look at what she does. It says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Now, I don't know if you caught this or not, but it's just, isn't it just like human nature that that you change the subject when people start to find out about you, right? Did you see that, what she was doing? It's a little diversion, a little religious diversion there. And if it was anyone else there except Jesus, you know, we'd probably be going like, hello, excuse me, we're talking about your, you know, your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guy friends here, so don't go changing the subject on me and talking about mountains and worship, okay? This is about your problems and about your issues. And as I read that, I thought, you know, hey, Jesus, don't you see that? You know, she's pulling a fast one on you. Don't let her do it. Don't let her get away with that, because that's kind of our nature. Like, we want people to know that we know the truth, you know, that it makes us feel good to know the truth. But that's not what Jesus did. Instead, he goes, okay, you want to talk about worship? Let's talk about worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you'll neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship him in the Father, in spirit, and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So here you see Jesus giving some of the Bible's best advice on worship. And all she's trying to do is cover up her own sins. And most of us would probably continue to press on and say, hey, this is, you know, this is not about worship. This is about your issues. This is about your problems. But Jesus is here and he's fully extending his grace. And so in the next verse, it says, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. And I like that one. It's almost like she's really feeling the pressure. So she almost kind of changes the topic again, right? She's like, well, yeah, you know, when Messiah comes, he's going to show us all about that. But Jesus says to her, I who speak to you am he. And I look at that conversation and I go, wow. Look at how he handled that conversation. I asked myself, if I knew all those things about that woman, would I have directed the conversation that same way? You know, think back to what we talked about earlier about how you get to know your spouse more and more, and about how it's sometimes more difficult to extend grace to someone that we know more about, and how it's more difficult to be gracious to someone that we know more truth about, and how we treat complete strangers sometimes better than we treat our very own spouse. And you don't see that with Jesus dealing relationally. He's the same around everyone, fully operating with grace and fully operating with truth. And he sees and he knows the truth about us in all of its fullness, but he's still there waiting to extend his grace to us. And that, friends, is truly amazing, because he knows what we've done. He knows what we're doing. He knows what we're going to do. And it doesn't matter how many facts he knows about us. It doesn't matter how much truth he knows about us. It doesn't matter how much any of that stuff he knows about us. It never prevents him from extending his grace to us. And so we were just wondering, okay, is there a way that we can do that? You know, live our lives full of grace and truth in our homes and in our families and with our spouses. Is there a way that we can just grab a hold of that and live a life that's full of grace and full of truth? Because it's a very effective lifestyle. If you think about this story here, this woman and a whole bunch of her friends end up having their lives transformed because Jesus operated relationally full of grace and truth.